Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
Tonight, if you would, take your Bible, turn with me to the book of Jonah, to the Old Testament book of Jonah. There is a passage, well, actually, it is again the first chapter, but it's only 17 verses. So we will take an opportunity, and we're going to read them tonight. And we're going to take a look at a few minutes, for a few minutes tonight, at getting a wake-up call for sleeping saints. Now, that's exactly what Jonah was. He was a sleeping saint. He was a child of God. He worshiped God. He gave sacrifice to God. But he was running from God. And that's what I want us to take a look at tonight. Something that we can be cautious of in our life. And being someone who has done this, I have ran from God. I ran for a long time from God's call to preach. And I know what it's like to go through and have these emotions, have these feelings, and to have God chasing. Well, actually, God was always getting in front of me and letting me run into Him. But for a little while tonight, let's think about that and let's read God's Word. Jonah chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the waves that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not. For the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee. Let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah, and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. If we take a moment and think of the background of the book of Jonah, what we see is a man who attempted to outmaneuver God. We see a man who was called of God specifically to go do something. And instead of going and following God and being obedient, Jonah said, wait a minute, not me. I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to go down to Tarshish. I'm not going to go to Nineveh. And there was a reason for that. You see, the Hebrews and the Ninevites did not get along. The Ninevites hated the Hebrews, and they were always torturing the Hebrews. They were always giving problems and trouble to the Hebrews. And then here God has called Jonah and said, I want you to go to the very people who hate you, and I want you to preach to them. I want you to lead them to the Lord. I want you to get them saved. In today's vernacular, that's exactly what God called Jonah to do. He called Jonah to go to the people that hated him and preach to them. And Jonah was afraid. Jonah was struggling. He was afraid. He was afraid that they would kill him. He was not living by faith. For a child of God to be called of God to do something, and it doesn't have to be preaching. Today you're sitting in church. You're listening to God's Word, but each one of you have a gift. Each one of you have a calling on your life. Do you know what that calling is tonight? Each one of you have a purpose in God's plan. And that purpose is to spread the gospel. That purpose is to lead other people to Jesus Christ. Now, what are you going to do if God places you in a position where you are going to have to bring the gospel to someone who you know doesn't like you, who you know may even actually hate you? Are you going to have enough faith? Is your faith going to be strong enough and bold enough to go do that? Or will you step aside and say, not me, Lord, and try to hide from God? Because one of the first things that we see from this is when God calls us to do something, God does not accept no for an answer. Did you notice that with Jonah? Jonah didn't have the privilege of telling God no because God doesn't take no. Jonah took off and tried to run from God, and God stayed right there with him. And I can vouch for that in a personal testimony tonight. God does not take no for an answer. I tried my best to stay on my path that I had decided for myself. I was going to be an electrical engineer, and that's all there was to it. God or nobody else was going to convince me otherwise. Well, you see where I'm at tonight. God does not give up on His call. He will not accept no for an answer. And that does not hold true only in the lives of preachers and pastors. It holds true in your life tonight as well, because your calling of God is just as important as my calling of God. And God will not accept no from you either. Now, what happens if we try to do that? Well, there are some things that we learn and we see from God's Word, and some things that will come to be very obvious to us when we hear about them. First of all, notice that the people involved with Jonah, they questioned his preoccupation. You see, Jonah was caught up in being rebellious and being disobedient to God. He was caught up in going his own way. It was obvious. The conditions around him were obvious. It's obvious in the church tonight also. The church too often sits asleep, just as Jonah was asleep in the ship. While there was trouble boiling on the outside, Jonah was sleeping. There's trouble boiling on the outside of the church doors tonight. There is sin rampant everywhere, going crazy all around us. People are dying. People are slipping off into eternity, into hell tonight, because no one has talked to them about Jesus, because no one has prayed for them, because the church remains empty on the nighttime services and barely has enough during the daytime services. Folks aren't interested in hearing the Word of God. Folks aren't interested in living the Word of God. Folks aren't interested in being obedient to God. Folks want to be disobedient. Now, coming to church does not make you a saint. Let's get that clear right from the beginning. Coming to church, you can be the most faithful church member to ever walk through the door of a church. If you're not saved by the grace of Jesus Christ and by His precious blood tonight, you're not making it to heaven. But the purpose of the church is to lead people to Jesus Christ. It is our purpose. It is our goal. If we're preoccupied with anything else, we are being disobedient. That was Jonah's problem. Jonah was preoccupied with the world. Jonah was preoccupied with Jonah. We can't be preoccupied with anything else. We have to be willing and faithful to be in a world of trouble and sin and danger. And we have to be faithful to let God see us through it tonight. Well, also, those who were around him, they questioned his profession. Can you imagine how embarrassing it must have been for Jonah for him to declare himself to be a man of God and yet running from God at the same time? It's hard to stand. It's hard to stand as a child of God tonight when you have ruined your testimony. And that's what Jonah does. Jonah ruined his testimony, his behavior, his choices, his preoccupation. It ruined his testimony. God was calling him. God was convicting him. God was staying right there with him every step of the way. God was saying, I want you to go preach to Nineveh. And Jonah was saying, no, I won't. And yet these were there in the midst of this storm, a picture of the world, this storm, and these that were, if you notice, it said that those that were on the ship, they all called out to their gods. Just like the world today, the unsaved world today has their own gods. The unsaved world tonight, they have the gods of athletics and sports. They have the gods of recreation. They have the gods of alcohol and drugs. They have the gods of sexual immorality. They have gods after gods after gods of anything and everything that are out there tonight. And they were doing nothing. They couldn't help them. And here they come to Jonah, and they ask Jonah for him to call out to his God. And Jonah tries to avoid all of that. Can you imagine how embarrassing Jonah felt? How embarrassing it was to him when they asked him to call out to his God and he knew he couldn't do it because he knew he wasn't right with him. He knew that he wasn't living right. He knew that his testimony was ruined and wrecked. Like I said before, I've been there. I've done that. I've got the t-shirt. When I got that t-shirt, when God took that off of me, I put it away and I vowed and I promised to never wear that again. It's not a pleasant feeling. It's not a pretty place to be. What is your profession tonight? If you had to stand in front of someone and if you had to give evidence of your Christianity tonight, what kind of evidence would you give? What kind of calling would you give? What kind of purpose would you give? Would it be one that was based upon your own making, or would it be one that was based upon being obedient to God who has called you and blessed you? Would it be the Great Commission, or would it be the Great Omission? It would be one or the other. But nonetheless, we all have that profession tonight, just as Jonah had it in his life. Well, not only did they question his profession, but they questioned his pedigree as well. Jonah was asked about his origin. He was asked a threefold question. Whence comest thou? How can a running, disobedient man say that he's a man of God from God's country? He was a Hebrew. He can't. You see, our disobedience and sin clouds our testimony, and it causes our lips to be silent. It's kind of like the old adage of a pastor or a preacher who goes into a bar and sits down and orders a drink alongside of everyone else, and they're all talking about what they do, and some of them are construction workers, and some of them are in law enforcement, and some of them are attorneys, and some of them are this or that or the other. The pastor's sitting there, the preacher's sitting there, and he's right there in the middle of them. He can't tell them what he does because he's so embarrassed of where he is. And does that picture have to be a pastor? Oh, no. Not at all. It can be any Christian. It can be any child of God called to be of service and called to be of work. If you run with the devil's crowd, and if you find yourself in place with where the devil's crowd congregates, it's going to be pretty doggone difficult for you to give a testimony of your faith and of your salvation and of what your calling is in God's world and in God's work. If you're standing there cheering on the same crowd and the same work that the devil's crowd is cheering on. Jonah couldn't do it. I couldn't do it when I was in that spot. I know of others that were in that spot and they couldn't do it. And I've got news for you tonight. If you find yourself in that spot, you're not going to be able to do it either. You might find something else, another answer to the question, but you won't be able to answer it from a Christian point of view and from a truly godly perspective. Then they ask him, what was his country? Jonah was from the Promised Land. But he didn't live like it. He didn't talk like it. He didn't act like it. He said he was a Hebrew. He said that he followed the God that created the world and created the land and created the sea. He gave a good testimony of God, but it wasn't seen in his life. We can know the words of the Bible, and we can know how to talk about God, and we can know how to talk about His saving grace through His Son, Jesus Christ. But do we experience it? Do we experience it on a daily basis? Do we own that salvation? And when I say own it, I'm not talking about that in a prideful, self-righteous sort of way. I'm saying, do we know that we have it? Do we know that we're born again by the blood of Christ? And are we bold in it? Not aggressive, not trying to just grab people and drag them into church, but are we bold in it in the point of we know that our life testifies of who we are. We know that our life testifies of our salvation. We know that our life testifies of what God has done and what Christ has done. Am I proud of who I was when I was running from God and from His call to preach and to do service for Him? No, I'm not proud of that at all. But what I am proud of is that God didn't let go of that calling. He stayed after me until I became obedient and I repented of that. and I moved on. Now I have a boldness that I have never had in my life. I have a confidence I've never had in my life, not in me, but in Christ. Because I know what Jesus has done, and I know what He can do in your life, and I know what He can do in the lives of others. If we will just embrace the calling that He's put on us, if we will take the pedigree that He's given us, we have a pedigree of being born again, of being saints of God tonight, and we need to hold that banner high. We need to be proud of it. We need to lift up the name of Jesus. Well, then they also questioned His purpose. Why have you done this? Why have you ran from God? Look at the mess you've got yourself in, and look at the mess that you've got us in too. And there's something else that's a point that I want you to understand tonight. You have a calling from God, and if you're running from it, it's not only affecting you. There is this very popular saying that goes around that says, well, if I don't go to church, if I don't do this, or if I don't do that, I'm not hurting no one but myself. Oh no, God's Word in the book of Jonah, chapter 1, gives direct evidence that that's not true. Jonah was not only putting himself in peril of God's judgment, Jonah was putting everyone on that ship in peril of God's judgment. And Jonah may have been outside of God's will, and Jonah may have been running from God, but Jonah also was a moral person, a good person, who knew that he could not let other people die because of his disobedience. Jonah knew that. That's why Jonah stood up. And Jonah said, hey, you're in this mess because of me. If there's anything that started showing a turn in Jonah's heart, I believe that's right. That was right there at that point in this scripture. Jonah just couldn't let somebody else suffer because of his disobedience. Folks, if we're going to be disobedient to God, we've got to realize there is going to be a punishment for it. And we've got to realize that there is no way that we can explain ourselves out of it. We can talk our way out of it. We can't run from God to get away from it. It is you and I who have to face that calling. And God does not repent of those callings either. He didn't repent from Jonah, and He didn't repent from me, and He's not going to repent from you or anyone else. We need to take the Lord's work very seriously. A day is coming in our life when we're not going to be physically able to work for the Lord in any capacity. In any capacity. When we're sitting in that spot and in that place, are we going to look back across our life and are we going to regret what we should have done? Or are we going to be sitting there thinking about what we've done and thinking about, well, I could have done it better, I could have done this? Are we going to look at it as a time, as a life that was given in service to God and answering His call? Or are we going to look at it as a life of running and sleeping through the calling of God and trying to stay one or two steps ahead of God at all times? We can't do that, but we have people that try. What will that point in your life look like? And it will be here before we know it. I remember that day and that time in my life when I was running from God's call. And now I look at myself nearing 55 years old tonight. And I'm thinking, my, I wish I would have started much sooner. I wish I wouldn't have ran as long as I ran. I wish I would have got this thing settled a long time ago. And at least from the perspective of where I am tonight, I've still got several more years of ministry left in me, barring any diseases or any injuries or any illnesses that I'm not aware of tonight. But I can already look back and I can already experience some of that regret. It's something that we have to realize. We have to realize what our calling is. We have to realize what our purpose is. Because if we make the wrong decisions at the wrong time for the wrong reasons, there's going to be a punishment. What shall we do with thee? God's Word asks. The answer that they get is the only one that makes sense. Cast away the disobedient person. In this case, it's cast away the disobedient saint. Throw him overboard. Throw him overboard. This is a picture, not of a saint losing their salvation, but this is a picture of a disobedient saint running from a call of God, hitting rock bottom. Can't go any further, can't run anywhere else. They want to throw him overboard, and they're questioning it. Now notice, the world, the pagans, that's the last thing they want to do. They cried unto the Lord and said, "We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee." It was the Lord's will. It was the Lord's will that Jonah be thrown overboard, that he be cast away. There is a reaction in the church toward the person who runs from a calling of God in their life. The church and the world says, ignore us. Or worse, they cast the church off altogether. Often people in the world are asking, where does the church fit into my life? Where do I fit into the church's life? That comes down to the testimony of those that have the calling and the burden upon their heart to fulfill the great mission in their life and to do what God is calling them to do on a daily basis. You see, when they threw Jonah overboard, the seas, they became still and they become quiet. And then the last thing that we read, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. A picture of resurrection. Jonah was not judged. Jonah was punished. But Jonah also experienced resurrection. You see, if we run from God, there's only one thing we can look forward to, and that is punishment. But that punishment is not something that is eternal. It's something that we have the privilege of being able to repent of. There is resurrection. If anyone hears this tonight, hears this message, and it's touching their heart because they feel like they haven't been who God has called them to be, don't go home flustered and don't go home worried. Don't go home concerned. Go home repentant tonight. Go home seeking the resurrection of a calling that God has placed on your life. Go home not looking back at what yesterday was, but look ahead at what tomorrow will be. Look ahead to what God can do and will do through your life, through the life of this church, through your family. He is a gracious God. He is a merciful God. He is a kind God. But He is a sincere God. When He calls us, He calls us unconditionally and unrepentant on His part. We have the privilege of being able to say stop and submit. Submit to a holy and righteous God. And watch what He can do in and through our lives. It will be an amazing experience. An amazing experience.